This is WCNO, Palm City, the good news station.
Welcome to the Positive Change Broadcast. I'm Robert Cook, and today we shall experience together a positive change.
Let's continue with part four of the four-part series titled, How to Handle Adversity.
We talked last week about people getting in debt, take 5 years to build up massive amount of debts. And I gave one tithe and I prayed for a week and it didn't happen. It doesn't work. You couldn't get in that much debt in a week. And it might take a little longer to get out. But the thing is, you will overcome the adversity that comes from debt and problems like that if you exercise patience. And then the new thing we're going to go to, which you have to exercise, is perseverance. Perseverance. Let's open our Bibles to Philippians 3. Philippians 3 verses 13 and 14. And let's just see what the Word of God has to say to us over there. Brethren, talking to the Christians, talking to fellow saints, talking to you and me if you're born again. Brethren, I count myself not to have apprehended. Now, this is Apostle Paul, the man who wrote 2/3 of the New Testament, says, I count myself not to have apprehended. Now, if anybody was getting darn close, it would be Paul. And he counted himself not to have apprehended. But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Now, perseverance is the pressing. We talked a little bit about persistence, which the definition of persistence and perseverance are both the same. It's the act or character of continuing steadily in a course of action. It's the act or the character of continuing steadily in a course of action or purpose in spite of difficulties or obstacles. It's the act or character of continuing steadily in a course of action or purpose in spite of difficulties or obstacles. But if you're pressing in to something, that means you're not going to stop. You're going to keep applying pressure, and because you might push the first time and nothing happened, but you keep applying pressure and what you're pressing on will begin to weaken until it eventually moves. Now, that's what a lot of people fail to do. They're trying to overcome an adversity. A situation has come in their life, and I tried it for a little while. That was enough. Well, I was pushing, and I got tired. Well, I was believing God, and I was making confessions, but it didn't come after 2 weeks. The question is, are you willing to persist? I see people all the time start businesses, and they'll go for, 6 months. Well, I'm not a millionaire yet. I'm gonna quit and go do something else. And if they stayed at the first thing they started and kept with persistent effort, they would achieve something. But people quit. Nobody said it wouldn't be difficult. It says in the face of obstacles. That's what persistence is. In the face of obstacles, anything worth having, there will be some obstacle to getting it. If it was easy, everybody would have it. But I don't care whether it's easy or not. I just know it's obtainable and do I want it? And I know there's a price to pay and I pay the price and I receive it. That's all it adds up to. I look at other people in the Word of God and other people who have achieved things, the type of people who say, look, this, let me think about it. They don't just, people like that don't just grab things they want to do. Oh, I want to do this. Oh, I like to do that. And next week they want to do something else. No, they only want to do what they know they're going to apply the effort to succeed at. But they know they can do whatever they want to. I mean, I like people who can look out there and say, the world is my oyster. Because of God in me, anything I put my hands to do prospers. Anything I put my hands to prosper. That is what the Word of God promises you and says to you. And you have to believe the devil telling you you can't do it to not prosper. And he will come and tell you that. He'll put up the adversity. It's like I tell people, no matter what kind of Christian you are, the devil is a good devil. And I don't mean good in the sense of he's a good person. He does what he does well. And that's to kill, to steal, and to destroy. He will destroy your dream. He will kill your children if you let him. He will kill you if you let him. If you don't get the word of God and arm yourself so you can stand out there in front of all his fiery darts and just, hey, doesn't faze me. Because that's where I look at the devil. I'm not worried about anything he can do because he can't do anything I don't allow. I thank God that apart from God, I had no power. I had no ability. I was just subject to whatever he wanted to do to me. But in God, in Christ, I am protected if I walk in the word and I walk in the authority that I've been given. You need to know that you're in charge. You know, what's the slang phrase? You're large and in charge. You need to know that the devil is under your feet. That's not just a fancy song we sing. That is the place where he belongs. You belong lording and ruling over him. Anything. It's almost like, you know, you got this little insignificant ant, a bunch of ants running around saying they're going to trip you. And you're like, trip me? I'll step on you and that'd be all there is to your existence. That's technically the way the devil is and your attitude about him. He is so small, but he boasts of such great things that if you listen to his boasting and you walk by your senses, you don't walk by faith in the word of God. You walk by sight, sound, hearing. He will be whispering in your ear. You can't do that.
Hello, this is Robert Cook, inviting you to meet me at Joy Faith Christian Center, Sundays at 11 a.m. at the Palm Beach Lakes High School. For more information, find us on the web at www.joyfaith.com. You can listen to today's program again on your smartphone or on your computer online at www.joyfaith.com. I look forward to meeting you in person this week at Joy Faith Christian Center, where you'll experience excellence in ministry and excellence in living.
That is the place where he belongs. You belong lording and ruling over him. Anything. It's almost like, you know, you got this little insignificant ant, a bunch of ants running around saying they're going to trip you. And you're like, trip me? I'll step on you. And that'd be all there is to your existence. That's technically the way the devil is and your attitude about him. He is so small, but he boasts of such great things that if you listen to his boasting and you walk by your senses, you don't walk by faith in the word of God. You walk by sight, sound, hearing. He will be whispering in your ear. You can't do that. You can't be that. You're not good enough for this. You're not good enough for that. He will whisper that in your ear until you begin to believe it. If you don't put something else in the other ear to override that. He will tell you he's this big fella. I'm going to make you sick. I'm going to do this. Don't talk too loud out here. I'm going to do this. And none of that is any truth at all. All of that is totally against the word of God. All he can do is shout. The devil, I saw an illustration was presented to me once, and it just revolutionized the way I see the devil. You're going into this restaurant, and the devil's in there, and he's sitting behind a table, and everybody comes in, he gives them, heck, you better get out of here, this is my place, and people just turn around running out the door. Just trying to get away because this man is crazy. He may hurt me. He's running. And then the people already in there sitting out, I see him pull that trick on everybody. He doesn't even have any legs. He's got no legs. He's got no hands. He's impotent. He's got no power at all. But he's got a mouth. And if you believe what he says, he'll talk a big game. And if he can get you over in fear and out of faith, then he can win you over. He talked the children of Israel out of going into the promised land. They wandered around there for 40 years because he showed them giants. He said, oh, they're not able. I mean, we're not able. They're too big. They're too great. And everybody who wasn't even there, they're like, yeah. Uh-huh, yeah. And all those people were doing was articulating what the devil wanted to be said to keep people out of the promised land or the blessing. Now, what blessings are you letting the devil keep you out of because of him just shouting in his mouth that if you would press in anyway? I mean, they came out of Egypt. God had a pillar of fire, a cloud that got them. He opened the Red Sea. He drowned Pharaoh's army. Miracle after miracle. He provided manna down from heaven. He brought water out of a rock. He did all kinds of things. Then you get to the gate, but they're giants in the land. And if I had to cross the sea that was uncrossed for or take on a giant, I'd opt to take the giant because I can't part that Red Sea. But I might be able to take that giant. If David did it, David and Goliath, I might be able to deal with that. I might be able to deal with that. You see what I'm saying? But the devil can talk to you so much that if you believe that, it'll confuse you. And you'll be all screwed up and he'll have you convinced that he's bigger than God. You know, the devil is this big, huge person with all this power. And God's this little bitty fella sitting up on the throne saying, I'm God. Worship me. And it's totally opposite to what's reality. Satan is a defeated foe. He is already defeated. Now, either that's true or the Bible is a lie and you should not waste your time or your money putting time in church or putting money in church. You really should not waste your time. Because if it says Jesus came for the purpose that he might destroy the works of the evil one, and if the works of the evil one are to kill, to steal, and destroy, if Jesus didn't destroy his ability to kill, to steal, and to destroy you, then why did Jesus come? He was a failure. And I don't believe the Bible ends up that Jesus was a failure. And I don't believe it says you can rule and reign after in heaven. In heaven, there would be no devil to rule and reign over. That's right. So if you got authority over the devil, it has to be now. If you got authority over the adversary and his adversity, it has to be now. Can't be later. There's no devil there. By that time, he'll be thrown in the pit of hell and put in Hades and thrown. And you don't have to worry about the devil. He will be gone into his eternal reward. Which is not a good place to go, but he'll be there. Mm-hmm. Now, the question is, are you going to believe through this life? Because he knows he's going down. He's just looking for company. How many people can I deceive to go with me? Because I'm going to hell and it's going to be hot, but I can't get out of it. I'm going. I might as well take as many folks as I want to. And he'll try and convince you to come. He's got a whole world that's not born again, convinced that there is no God. There is no devil. There is no anything. No, people are just making that up. I said this Bible did not exist throughout the last thousands and thousands of years through war, through all types of things. It did not exist to today because it was not something supernatural preserving it. There's a God that was preserving his word so that every generation that has ever come can hear it and they can make the decision. The adversity is going to come. But are you going to go to prayer? Are you going to go to the promises of God? Are you going to go to patience? Or is this just a fancy sermon you've heard? Did you say, amen, hallelujah, praise God, glory to Jesus, and you continue being downtrodden and run over by the devil? It's like one person said, you know, if I want to write the devil, if I want to talk to the devil, I'll write him a note on the bottom of my shoe. Most people want to talk to the devil, just turn and say, devil, or look up to him. Devil, could you please leave me alone? He is not there. You need to get the right mindset. He is beneath your feet when you walk in the authority that you have. Now, this may be new to people. Some people, when I was going to a certain particular church and I heard it for the first time, what do you mean we got authority? I was always taught the devil's the big one. I got to stay out of his way and I've got to get away from him. And he and God are both so powerful. The devil is not powerful. He doesn't have any power that you don't give to him. Now, that's what I mean by powerful. He's more powerful than any man in his own strength. But if you're born again and you know who you are, he is not more powerful than you. You can tell him to get out of your way and he has to obey. Look at examples in Acts when they spoke and they would speak the word and then they get out of the way. But then people speaking like, well, you know, move out of the way in the name of Paul's God. That doesn't work because that wasn't real to that person. But what they were saying was true. They did. Devils did move out of Paul's way.
Today's message has been part four of the four-part series titled, How to Handle Adversity.
The Positive Change Broadcast is a listener-supported ministry. Take a moment and log on to www.joyoffaith.com. Click on the online giving tab and set up an automatic recurring monthly gift of $50 or $25 to support the Positive Change Broadcast. Your generous gift helps us to continue ministering the word to your family and many others each weekday morning. So consider this program's value to you and schedule your support today. Make a difference by giving generously. Joy Faith Christian Center is located at Military Trail, two blocks south of 45th Street in the Palm Beach Lakes High School Performing Arts Auditorium. Come this Sunday and be a part of our worship service at 11 a.m. You'll experience praise and worship, practical and useful teaching in a comfortable, casual setting, and a warm welcome from the Joy Faith family. Joy Faith is an awesome church for you to learn the Word of God, develop your spiritual gifts and talents with believers just like you. So meet me this Sunday at 3505 Shiloh Drive in West Palm Beach, Florida, 33407. I look forward to greeting you in person this Sunday at the Palm Beach Lakes High School Performing Arts Auditorium. I'm Robert Cook. Thank you for joining me today. I believe you've got something that you can use to make a positive change in your life.
Precious Metals Reclaiming Service, an underwriter of the